Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished professional from Mysore, India, Mr. Rajiv Krishnan. Rajiv, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Rajiv is a business advisor and management consultant. He's an experienced managing director and CEO with a global career in retail, consumer goods, hospitality, and education. Rajiv has been felicitated as India's inspirational leader in 2018 and 19 in London under the third global edition of the Global Indian Excellence Summit. So, Rajiv, before we talk about your corporate career, tell me a little bit about your own professional journey and your personal journey in brief.
I do want to write a book one day. Mm-hmm. I think I call myself the accidental tourist. Mm-hmm. I studied in Bangalore. I was in St. Joseph's College, Bangalore. Always wanted to be a diplomat. My grandfather was an ambassador to multiple countries. He was of the United Nations. So that was my dream somewhere out there. Father was an engineer. Mother went to Cambridge and Oxford. So we came from a pretty high profile family of sorts. And this is not to be arrogant in any sense, yeah, but a backdrop to where my life landed me eventually. Mm. So I think I was just about 20 graduating from college, and mom said, you know, you have an old US passport. I wonder if it's still valid. This was for the US. I had forgotten. I was born there when I was 6 months old. I'd come back to India. And lo and behold, this conversation takes me to the US embassy. Within 24 hours of that conversation, I am being told that I cannot stay in India anymore. Because I'm a US citizen and I need to find a visa and or leave India. Mm. Within 30 days of that, my mother borrowed a couple of $100 from somewhere, got me a ticket. And I think she gave me $200. And an uncle of mine, who my grandfather had taken to the US, mm, who just shows up in Mysore out of the blue, says, pack up and come. And I landed in New York, I think it was just about 45 days after I graduated, with no idea, no plan, not sure what I was going to do. Anyway, the next phase basically took me through trying to get into a college. And I think everything happened so fast. I was, you know, my head was upside down. I had not, you know, prepared for a GMAT, nothing. I had not done anything. Anyway, I never got into college. I think I applied in 86. I was late, couldn't get any financial aid or didn't get in. And the $200 was slowly kind of, you know, going down. Mm. And I knew I had to do something. And fortunately, the US gives you an opportunity to get out there and work. And work means, you know, just work in a McDonald's or Burger King or whatever it is. And not what I wanted to do. But I think the first trip of my destiny started there. I joined a retail chain called Bradley's. Mm-hmm. Was paid minimum wage, $3.35 an hour. I think they let me work like, I don't know, 20 hours a week or something. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into retail.
Wow.
And I used to mop floors. I used to clean shelves. I used to push shopping carts. And every night I used to cry going home. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, you know, this is not what I came here to do. I'm capable mm-hmm. of doing so much more. But the irony was, within all those tears and anger and frustration, I just loved, there was something about retail that just mm. got my juices going. And I had an amazing mentor. I mean, even today, if and when I get a hold of him, his name is Dennis, I've always been thankful because he taught me the nuances of what landed up being my life journey, basically. Mm. Anyway, Bradley's went bankrupt. And as luck would have it, I found Target. Mm-hmm. And those days, Target was very, I mean, relatively small. It was about a $2.5 billion company. And I joined them all the way at the bottom as a department manager or something of that sort. And then had the best part of my life just unfolded in front of me. I was with them for about 18 years. And I think I joined them when they were $2.5 billion and I left when they were about $60 billion.
Wow.
So that whole journey happened in front of me. I grew with them. I learned so much. I had some amazing mentors. And even now, I wear the bullseye on my heart. Actually, here's mm. a pen. Wow. I don't know if you can see the
yeah,
pen.
Yeah, I can see
it. Has a Target bullseye. it was not intentional. It was a pen I just picked up.
Yeah.
That was a fascinating journey. And I mean, mm. by then, I was addicted to retail. I mean, I didn't know anything else. Mm. I mean, it was both about learning and creating, fortunately. I think Target gave me the opportunity on one side to learn what retail was about through my mentors. And the other side, I used to do all kinds of stuff. I used to disrupt without even knowing what I was doing. And I think that was a perfect setup in a sense for what, you know, lay ahead of me. Anyway, India was starting to boom parallelly, and I'm talking about the early 2000s. Yeah. And I was dying to come back and, you know, do something here. And lo and behold, I got a call from Headhunter to join the Walmart venture, so the Bharti Walmart venture. And I mean, you talk about a dream come true for a guy who just left here with two suitcases and 200 bucks and you're coming back with the biggest retailer in the world. I was like, you know, I mean, what do you say? It was a perfect scenario. So so I came back, I joined that venture, was there with them for about 4 years. And then another twist happened after that, which again, I never thought would happen in my life. I had worked with McKinsey on a project at Target, one of the earliest projects that both McKinsey and Target had ever done on lean retail. I think this was 96 or something in sort, and had built some relationships there and go through the process. And next thing I know, I'm a senior advisor for their retail practice for Southeast Asia, based out of Gurgaon. Ashutosh, honestly, I mean, these were not things that I ever dreamt, because I never thought I was good enough to qualify for that. I mean, yeah, I had a BA. I remember telling the person who approached me, I said, you know, I only have a BA from St. Joseph's, Bangalore, and I won't fit your intellectual thing. And he said, you know, clients are looking for, you know, experience in it, and those kind of things. So anyway, that was a very different but amazing learning experience, seeing things from the other side of the equation, basically. And taught me a lot also on how to think differently. You know, we become very linear in our thinking sometimes.
Correct.
I think the consulting world opens up that mindset. So that was beautiful. And then I think the culmination, at least so far in my journey, was me landing up with Spark. I was blessed to be offered the role to be the managing director for Spark India. And I think all those learnings over 20 years, 25 years, all kind of got a stage to just kind of unfold. And that's what I did for about 4 years. I took a break after that. This was just before COVID, and was going to get back out into the market. COVID happened. And I've been doing all kinds of different things since then. Nothing in the corporate side, in a sense. I advise, I consult. But I dabbled in hospitality. I've done a little bit in healthcare. Then I did, I help out a lot of small businesses. I think COVID really kind of pushed me down that direction of just walking up to, you know, what we call the Kirana or whatever, and just helping and doing something to, because they saved us. You know, they got us through one of the toughest periods in our lives.
Correct.
And that happened. And then the big turning point, I did a year in education at a business school. And just absolutely loved it. I mean, I wish I got paid more, but I just totally loved it. I do a lot of speaking, public speaking. And the reference point is I spend a lot of time trying to mentor the youngsters as much as I can, both personally and professionally. So dying to kind of get back into the corporate world, because I miss that, you know, the largest of a team and people and, you know, the resources and stuff like that. But every day goes staying busy in some
form. There's so many more things to do.
Absolutely. But
tell me also about your philosophy, you know, which is the glass half full. How does this impact you, your leadership, and your teams?
I think the terminology, I don't even know when I came up with the phrase, but I think it's always been me and my life. I think I kind of shared my family background. I came from a very well-to-do family. But none of that helped me in my life, in a sense. I used to always wonder early on, wow, you know, with such high-profile grandparents and parents and stuff like that, I should have been connected here, connected there. And then later on, I realized, you know what? Maybe what I imbibed were the most important things are the values of life. So when I saw the glass empty, suddenly it filled up for me in a different way. I had a very bad childhood, in a sense. Came from a divorced family. And you know, just like anybody else who, you know, comes up in a disturbed family, your mind can go in so many places. I again found an output through my college. Actually, St. Joseph's was the turning point in my life. So I think at multiple points in my life, when I've gone and hit the wall, suddenly half the wall comes down and I'm able to see across.
Fascinating.
And that's why the terminology of glass half full. And then it's always been my philosophy at work with my teams, with people, personal or professional. I hate to see anybody give up. I hate to see anybody say, you know what, that's not possible, or can't do, can't see. So life has always been about saying, you know what, when we think our life is bad, just look outside. It's 100 times worse. So.
Well said. And, you know, Rajiv, you have worked in the US, you worked in India, you worked in very, very large companies, you've led companies. My question is, how has some of these experiences, working in different companies and cultures, how have they influenced your own leadership style?
I think without a doubt, all of them have influenced me, because for me, they were never jobs. I think in the first place, because I didn't have anything else, target was my home, target was my family. I mean, I'm talking about the first company I started with. So everything I learned, I saw, I did, became a lot of who I became in a sense. I think Target especially, because those were the, you know, the longest years I spent anywhere. I got a chance to self-reflect at a very early age. And I'm glad I did, because, you know, the ego is one of the biggest things that hinder most of us as we move up. You know, as a leader, basically, we refuse to listen. We are very linear in our thought process. And I think my knees got knocked down very early at Target, because the culture was about, you know, learning, listening, developing and such. So I think there were some huge, and people, I think more than companies, you know, I don't think I would be able to go back and say, Target did this to me, Walmart did this to me. I think it was the people at different points of that journey who cared for me. I think, you know, without a doubt, even today, after 30, 35 years, when people reach out to you, people you worked with, people you worked for, people whose boss you were, people who were your boss, when people reach out from that context, then you know that, you know what, you really imbibed all of them in your life, in a sense. My daughter knows about all of them. You know, she always follows me. She says, she gave me the biggest compliment a couple of days back, which went back to this culture, because I used to always try to tell her to do what she loves. And she said, you know, Daddy, one thing I've always been fascinated when I watch you is you love what you do. And I think I was very fortunate that the cultures of those companies, the Target, the Walmart, the McKinsey and Spar, gave me the opportunity to love what I did. And then I tried to give that back to the people. You know, I used to really strive hard to make sure that the people who came, who worked with me, came not to work, but to make a difference in their lives in some form. So it was not a 9-to-5. It wasn't a salary. While all that was there, you know, to get something out of it that is much more than just that paycheck. And I think that's been the most gratifying part of what all those companies gave me. So.
Fascinating. So, you know, you're a retailer at heart. I think you've got retail in every ounce of your blood. Let me ask you one or two questions on retail. You know, from the time you started working at Target to what you see retail today with the incredible amount of technology, I'd love to get your perspective on how has retail evolved over the years, and where do you see it going in future?
Gosh, that I reminisce sometimes about the days of, you know, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. It changed constantly. I think I was very fortunate. I started the early part of my journey at Target those days, and not that the other companies didn't follow suit, but at that point, they expected change to happen. You know, it was at a very fast pace, which I think in the early part, I couldn't handle. I didn't understand, not just me, I think most of us didn't. And fortunately, we had a CEO who was extremely visionary and realized that innovation was a must, change was necessary, and the customer was the most important part. Kind of kept it relatively simple. And then he just unleashed us in that process of, you know, going through it. But the changes were phenomenal. I think the early days, it was about operational excellence and process. And I'm talking about the US now. And while it was significantly better than what I have seen and what we have in India today from the operational side and such, I think the challenges that were very different in the US, which was about understanding the diversity of the consumer. You know, the coasts were extremely diverse. There were Asians, there were African-Americans, there were Hispanics, and all that was changing. So merchandising and understanding your core community, I think, became one of the biggest challenges.
Right.
While we constantly moved. I think in India, it was completely different because, you know, the fact that you could travel anywhere in the world. You could get pictures and videos of any store you wanted. Mm-hmm. I think we moved through very fast in India. We cut, copy, paste, and we did something here.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get an opportunity to build anything from ground up. And I'm generalizing. You know, mm-hmm. I think Kishore would hit me up the head if he said, what are you talking about? No, he built Big Bazaar and such. I mean, very generally, you know, we didn't get into the depth of what our root as of a company needed to be, what the DNA needed to be, what the operational processes need to be. I think we moved through too fast. So those challenges came and caught us very fast because you can only copy to a point. After that, you can get lost in the muddle very quickly because you look just like everybody else. You're shouting the same message of price. There's no differentiation. There's no innovation. You don't understand process. And it can get lopsided. Of course, then that changed because e-commerce came in.
Correct.
And I think that whole digital piece and the operational part, I think, came in through e-commerce because logistics in the back end is so critical.
Yeah.
That knowledge is now in India, which, of course, you mean, you know, there is so much going on in online. I think the challenge then became that the companies that were not ready to absorb and, you know, become omni very fast got left behind.
Mm.
On the other hand, some companies just went and said, oh, we're going digital. So they just went and did something and kind of got lost in the works. But I think the change has been, it's been hectic. All good because, I mean, today you can literally get anything you want from anywhere you want. Your life has changed.
Mm.
But the beauty of it is the two ecosystems still exist in India. You know, people always ask me, oh, is the unorganized sector gone? And I keep saying, no chance. It's not happening. I think it's going to be about how they evolve and how they grow and how they interpret all these new technologies and new businesses. I mean, today my fruit vendor downstairs has, Google Pay sitting in front of him because he's able to get digital, a cashless economy or whatever. So I think the changes are going to be constant. Change is needed.
Hmm.
I think the caution is just that, you know, we need to appropriately go through the change because, you know, with the velocity of change and if you go through it too fast, you really didn't even cement what you were doing in the first place and you can break down very easily if you're not a very stable situation. So change is a way of life, I guess. There's no options.
Correct. Well said. My next question to you is about, you know, when you're running large companies, this I've heard from so many different people, the demands of running the company take away time from your own personal life and well-being. Everyone's now talking about, you know, time for your own self, time for your health. How did you balance the demands for running a successful company with your personal life and well-being?
I was an utter failure till I would say half of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember not going home for 3 days. You know, you just worked, that's all you did. You expected the same out of everybody. And then as you grew older, and as I think you matured also, and you understood that, life was not work in itself. Mm-hmm. And work was life, on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
We spend 60-70% of our time at work.
Mm-hmm.
We spend all our time in these relationships at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then to spend all that time there and then to go home and spend 20% with the people that are equally, if not more important, actually more important in your life, didn't make any sense.
Mm.
I think towards the latter part of my life, and it predominantly was at Spar, I went in with such a conscious effort that I expected people to go home at a certain time. Lights off in the office, I forced it.
Mm.
And I think some of it came from the US culture of saying, you know, we worked 8 to 5, you figure out how you do it, when you need to do it, and how you get it done.
Correct.
Because I thought it was extremely important, especially, I mean, in cities like Bangalore and Delhi, by the time you travel somewhere and you come back, I mean, you're brain fried. You work 11 hours and then you go and, spend 4 hours traveling. What's left of the day?
Mm.
So I think that changed. And that had a huge impact on the morale, on what we did, how we did it, how close we became as an organization. And how the family of the families became the family of the company.
Mm.
I mean, we knew children, we knew, because everybody realized there was something going on that was inclusive of everybody.
Mm.
You know, that mom was going to come home at a decent time and not this thing. So, I mean, I was pretty strict about it. I threatened to dock people on their appraisals if I saw them just staying late.
Mm.
I offered them multiple shifts, so they, you know, depending on who wanted to work when. But I think the early years of doing what I did and watching so many of us who did what we did, I never believed in that philosophy because I believed it was about life. You know? And if it's holistic, if it's balanced, if it is inclusive, then chances of us being somewhat successful at both places are very high.
Well said. So I have time for two more questions for you, Rajiv. My next question is that, and retail is a very difficult business. I mean, you know, built a retail company, you built them. So I know how difficult retail is. I wanted to get your perspective on what are some of the key qualities you think are necessary to become the managing director, CEO of a large retail company.
I think you said it perfectly. I mean, retail is one of the most complex businesses in the world because there's so many. It's not a four-wheeled car. It's a multiple-wheeled organization. I think more than retail, I would say, you know, there's some philosophies I learned in the early years in terms of one was about the self, that you needed to demonstrate a very high level of accountability and you needed to demonstrate courage. And retail or otherwise, I think those were very important because, you know, the business had its fluctuations. The business would go up and down. There was constant change, constant conflict, constant things going on. So I've always believed that as a leader, that's extremely important, that you take responsibility and accountability for what needs to happen, what can happen, and what didn't happen most of. The second part of it had to do with the team. And I think the two things that I've always believed are important is one, to build trust with your team. And the second one is to communicate effectively. I think with the building trust, you think it's a no-brainer, but the larger the organization, it's even more important. You know, people have to have access to you. People have to be able to vent, talk to you. I mean, the arguments, you should agree to disagree. You can have conversation, you can debate, discuss, but at the end of the day, you agreed to move on in some form. But that can only happen in a very trusting environment. And I found over the years, again, you know, I was never the master at it. As you learned and you got better at it, you found that success came along with it. And then communicating effectively. And I think communicating effectively is not so much about talking as much as listening. And it wasn't just listening with your ears. It was about listening with your eyes also. You know, watching what was going on. Because eventually it's all about people, Ashutosh. I mean, correct. You know, no matter what the business is, whether it's making a car or running a retail store, whatever, it's the people around you are all, they're in the right place, they're the right people, they're satisfied, they know what they're doing. Chances of success, again, higher. And then finally, I think I came to the execution part that I think is extremely important. Retail was about, cliche is detail, but I think both managing execution, because you have to be organized or you have to surround yourself with people who are organized.
Correct.
One of two things. Be very planful and make sure that continues. And then you have to have that mindset of innovation and disruption because change is not an option. You know, it's got to be a free-flowing mindset, because if you don't, you can get stuck in retail very fast by being... I think you've seen enough to see where people or leaders have failed because they didn't change with time or they didn't move or whatever. So I think that's kind of a given. So I think those are the five or six things that
Great response. Thank you. And my last question to you, Rajiv, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey at 20, going off to the US, working in Target, coming back, working with Walmart, then running Spar, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
Believe. I think it's extremely important to believe, because it's extremely easy to give up. And I could have at multiple points for multiple reasons. But I think that's been one of the most important things that I've taken away from life, that believe both in yourself and those around you. Everybody is not wrong. Everybody is not right. Neither are you, nor are they.
Correct.
Just that self-belief can do so much in life. So much. I think it's difficult to kind of pinpoint it and say, oh, if you believe, you'll become an MD. No, that's not what I meant. But it's about having some thought about saying, you know, I want to, I can. I think the second one that now I believe, and even more so, is make a difference in the lives of people around you.
Mm.
Don't just live life.
Mm.
It's not about just a salary or a position or a title. It's not about just who you know. And I think COVID really brought that out because, you know,
right.
we all had to help each other because yeah. none of us knew what was going on. And I think that's kind of stayed with me to say, you know what, make put a smile on somebody's face.
Correct.
Because at the end of the day, when you're done, you and I are done and we go up.
Hmm.
Neither are we taking our books, nor our title, nor our position, nor our bank account.
Correct.
You just hope somebody's standing there and saying, you know what, he made a difference in my life. Hmm. And I think if we can go out there and do that, both personally and professionally, I think that would be that would be huge. And then be true to yourself. You know, I think we live a lot of our lives just kind of rushing through and going through and trying to be somebody. Just be yourself. I think that's important. Feel good about yourself. Feel confident
How wonderful. And on that note, Rajiv, and your three wonderful lessons, believe in yourself and those around you, make a difference in the lives of people who you are with. And the third one, which is so important, be true to yourself. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for talking to me about how you started and your incredible trip to the US and how you have built upon that to reach where you are today. Thank you again for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh. And it was a privilege to have gotten this opportunity. I think it's the other way around too. And I'm extremely grateful. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.